Welcome to Out With Dan, the podcast that spotlights and examines the voices of LGBTQ+ authors, characters, and our allies. Together, we lift our voices and we tell our stories. I'm Dan White. Join me as I chat with this week's author. Hello, and welcome back to Out With Dan. Today, I'm excited to talk to award-winning author Amanda Jayatissa about Island Witch. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi, Dan. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Thank you. My pleasure. So I want to show this cover again because I love this cover. It is so evocative of the story. Did the cover artist do the one for My Sweet Girl as well?
Yes, I've been very, very lucky. So my publisher, Berkeley, they pay a lot of attention to covers, and I've had the same cover artist throughout. And I really am so grateful that they took so much time and put so much attention to detail in this one. We had many conversations with me, sending them pictures that are historically appropriate and culturally appropriate, and everything that she's wearing in the cover is very accurate historically. So for me, that was a really big deal, and I really appreciate that they took the time to get that right.
I agree. You know, it's often been said, don't judge a book by its cover, but we are visual people. So I think we do. And I remember when I first saw the cover, I was so excited because I'm like, this cover speaks to me.
Yeah, I'm glad you feel that way. I love it. I love it. I actually want to get it blown up and like frame it and keep it because I can't stop staring at it.
I agree. It's wonderful. So your book is dedicated to strong women. And that's something that I feel like I've been blessed by. Can you share a little bit about what that has meant to you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, wow. That's a great question. And I'm so glad you asked. So I grew up in Sri Lanka, which is quite a patriarchal society. But I always say I've been incredibly lucky that I grew up in a house or a household full of feminists. My grandmother, my mother's mother, was the second woman in Sri Lanka to get her driver's license and the first woman to get a driver's license for a heavy vehicle. She used to drive like a lorry around, like a big truck around delivering like clothes and things like that. And she was always just this incredibly, just like so ahead of her time. And even my father's mom, like, because my granddad passed away young, and she just did so much, you know, like financially supporting her children. And, you know, and I've just been so blessed that I was raised in a family where I was never told that I could not do something because I was a girl. And that makes such a big impact, I think, growing up, because when you're just not told no, you just don't have those restrictions in your mind. And I was blissfully unaware, actually, until I got much older, what the limitations were. So, and then, of course, when I started my publishing journey, you know, from my agent to my editor to so many of my team, they're all just these strong, amazing, independent women. And it's just so inspiring. Like so many of my writer friends are women who are, again, like just out there championing all these causes. And just it's so inspiring to me. And obviously, Island Witch is a story about a lot of injustices faced by women. And it just felt right to dedicate it to all the women in my life who've inspired me to kind of stand up for myself and go out there and do what I've had to do. So
I think that had you not had that influence, I think Amara's story would probably have been very, very different with a writer who had grown up with restrictions. So I really feel like they have certainly had an influence on you to write such a strong character who you write lovingly, which that as a reader is always so important. So can you give us a flavor of what Island Witch is about?
Of course. So Island Witch is set in 19th century Sri Lanka, which was actually called Ceylon at the time because it was colonized by the British. It takes place in a little coastal fishing town where Amara, that's our main character, is the 18-year-old daughter of the town's demon priest. and I always laugh when I say that because, of course, the Sri Lankan word for it, kapua or katadia, it's a little different technically in translation, but the closest we can get is demon priest. And with the shift in the ideologies that are happening, with Christianity being brought in, the villagers who once held Amara's father in quite high regard are now starting to get a little suspicious of him. And that is only made worse when a series of attacks start plaguing Amara's village, and everyone now turns the blame on her father. And Amara, of course, is convinced that her father is innocent, and moreover is insistent on convincing everybody else of his innocence, and hence wants to figure out who actually is carrying out these attacks. But the more she's digging into it, the more she feels that it's tied into this night where she woke up confused to the sound of her mom screaming, like no one can find out about this. And she's also have been having these eerie dreams that seem to predict the attacks. So, you know, there's a lot of confusing things going on as she's trying to get to the bottom of this. The story itself is, you know, it's rich in Sri Lankan folklore and traditions and religious practices, most of which are still carried out and practiced in Sri Lanka today. So I had a really, really good time researching and writing this book. It's very close to my dad.
I love it. So I know that you live in Portugal now, but recently you have lived in Sri Lanka again. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I only moved here 2 months in November last year. So it's
oh, wow. Oh, it's still fresh.
For sure.
I love it.
Sorry.
That's okay. So, you know, at one point in the book, the word witch is introduced, which, of course, is in the title of your book. And I know that it's a word that wasn't sort of in existence. It was something that was brought in with the colonizers. And I wonder, so, you know, I did a little research on Sri Lanka because I say that most people in America are stupid about geography. I knew about where it was, but I wasn't sure. And then I've really learned how many different times it had been colonized by different countries.
Right.
You know, the Dutch and the Portuguese are... And then the British. And I wonder, so all of these people who colonized Sri Lanka did it for their own personal gain. And I feel like in your book, you talk about women as a personal commodity. Is that something you would say is a fair assessment?
Yeah, of course. Of course. And it's just so interesting. I think the nature that of I think the society's relationship with women, especially at that time. You know, Dan, when I said about writing this, because it's a historical book and I write in first person, so I wanted as many, you know, first person accounts as I could, you know, just to be able to get into that headspace, to be able to write this story. And when I was researching, it was so difficult to find any accounts of the country at the time that weren't one written by either the British, when most you know, any kind of piece of writing you could find was usually by someone who was British, or upper class Sinhalese. There were really no accounts from anyone from the village, and not a single account from anyone who was a woman.
Oh wow!
So, you know, it's like it's just how much of erasure. You know, like you're not heard, right? It's I mean, forget being a commodity. You're not even considered a part of society at all, which really enraged me, really, and was one of the reasons why I was so dead set on writing this book and writing it in the first person. It was such a hurdle for me to get over, because then I had to find secondary sources that, you know, describe women's lives and kind of try and extrapolate from there and you know, come up with what Amara would have been going through. And, you know, the sad truth is women are still faced, I mean, as in anywhere in the world, you know, but I think especially in Sri Lanka, I think women still face quite a lot of struggles. It is a very patriarchal society. You know, there are, have been advancements like you see everywhere else, but we certainly have a long way to go.
I think we do here as well. You know, I think that there's a different attitude that's hurled at women than is hurled at men. And especially a white man like me, we seem to get a pass, whereas women, but especially women of color in this country are not respected. I think that, and we attach, instead of the word witch, we attach something that rhymes with it if a woman is successful here. And it always breaks my heart. I was fortunate enough to be raised by a very strong mother who was independent. But even in her life, she had said to me at one time, she didn't think she could ever vote for a woman to be president. And I said to, it broke my heart. And I said, why? And she said, well, you know, women are emotional. And I said, Mom, that's the story you've been sold. Women are just as analytical as men. I mean, mm-hmm. if a man had to give birth, we'd just crawl in a corner and die. Women do this, you know? So I'm a big feminist myself. I mean, we all got here by a woman. A woman should be number one in my mind.
Mm-hmm. So, why do you think that way?
Yes, I'm always on the feminist train every day of the week, happily, front or back, I don't care. So Amara is described as 18. And at some point in the book, there is a conversation with her and her parents, especially her mother, who says, well, you will soon be 19. You must get married. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's one of those concepts that while I don't think it's as big here as it used to be, it is always such pressure on a woman to hurry up and get married and belong mm-hmm. to someone else. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that Amara had a mind of her own and she wanted to learn. She believed her dad and she wanted to be supportive. And you feel like Amara is a healer in her own way. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's the way I felt.
Yeah, she's certainly very sensitive, but also very naive, very sheltered. You know, like an 18-year-old, I think at the time would be quite different from an 18-year-old like today with access, right. with access to information and all of that. Like, you know, there's so much naivety in the way she handles things. So much so that sometimes for me it was frustrating because you know you feel very protective of your characters sometimes. And you want to take them and shake them and be like, get yourself together. Come on. But this was a story of her coming into her power, right? This was a story of her finding her voice and finding her anger almost and giving herself permission to feel angry, which I think as women, we're told to sort of bottle it down, right?
Like, yes, yes.
We shouldn't be getting angry. And we're called emotional, but we're not expected to be angry. It's a funny thing how anger is considered to be an emotion, or like anger is a man's emotion, so it's not really called an emotion. You know, we kind of associate emotion with women with like crying or like hysteria or you know, all of those sort of things, but not anger per se. And this was really a story of Amara like allowing herself to feel whatever she's feeling and call out the injustice that had happened to her.
And I think that's such a beautiful part of reading your book that it really spoke to me, because she does find her power and she finds her strength and she learns that her emotions are valid. And I mm-hmm. think that's something that I've seen other interviews you've done. And, it, you know, being heard and being valid is so important for characters. And so when you were writing this, how tough was it to get in and out of Amara? Because I do think that authors inhabit their characters, at least to some point. If you're going to get a beautiful adaptation on the page, you have to inhabit them. So was it easy getting in and out of Amara?
There's a stage of the book, usually sort of between that first draft and like maybe even sort of the second and third, I get really impossible to be around because I write in first person, and how I get into character actually is before I even start writing, I usually take some sort of notebook and I journal from my character's point of view to make sure I really understand their voice.
Oh, I love that, Amanda. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's like the prep work that I tend to do before I start writing. So of course, when I was writing Amara's story, I was very, very angry. But it kind of worked, because also the time I was writing this story was when I was living in Sri Lanka and we were going through this major economic and political crisis. We had, you know, 8-hour power cuts for a day. Oh, wow. I would be writing and like praying my laptop battery wouldn't die. we didn't have fuel. We had to ride bikes everywhere. I don't know how to ride a bike. This was very, very traumatizing for me to learn how to ride a bike in my 30s, just to get from one place to another. So we had no fuel, no power. There's a food shortage. We were protesting. We were like on the streets protesting while I was, you know, working on this book. So definitely there was a lot of rage that I was feeling anyway, that I was able to channel into this writing. So like, I guess it worked out.
Yes, it does. And I think, you know, I think you bring up a good point, because we don't, especially if you're here in the U.S., we are a bit spoiled. We don't have 8-hour power cuts. Lord, if they cut the power for 1 hour here, I mean, we nearly burned the city down. So it's just one of those things that it's a different life for us. But I think that obviously that kind of channeling works really, really well in this book. So
yeah, definitely. And also I think there was a sense, especially from Amara's perspective, a sense of powerlessness, you know, before she really came onto her own and figured things out, there's that sense of powerlessness. And I think I really related to that at the time I was writing, because there were so many things that were so enraging, but at the same time, you feel so powerless. And that's how I felt actually for a large duration of the book. So,
well, and it's important, because we have sort of danced around a bunch of generic subjects, even though I had such a great time. It's important to let people know that this is a thriller. It has some occult in it. It has some religion in it. It has it has a little bit of violence in it, because it's important. Some people are not big violence. I don't think the violence is gratuitous. I think it's perfect the way it is. It gives me a feeling of what we are going to experience. And just one observation to make, it's a little off, maybe a little off kilter, but at the beginning of the book, you talk about a man walking through the jungle and how he has no fear. And that setup was just so wonderful for what transpires in the rest of the book, because we see that this man who has no fear has not necessarily taken away power from Amara, but she sees life very differently than he does, because he has that ability to be, you know, bravo me, and where the women in the book don't at the beginning. So I really, that was a little flavor for me that sort of set up where it was going to go. And I was rooting for Amara the entire way.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
Well, thank you for writing such a wonderful book. Again, the book is Island Witch. Amanda, do you have a website or social media you would like to share?
Sure. It's all very easy. It's just my name. So it's AmandaJayathissa.com. On Instagram, I'm AmandaJayathissa. On Twitter, or now X, it's AmandaJayathissa. So it's just AmandaJayathissa everywhere.
Well, that's perfectly straightforward. Thank you so much for joining me. I had such a great time, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Dan. This was great.
Perfect. Hang on for me just a second. Now we'll go into the little teaser. Amanda Jayathissa, what are you reading now?
I haven't read it yet, but I'm just about to start Almost Surely Dead by Amina Akhtar. I'm really excited for it. I know all her thrillers are super voicey and super fun. And yeah, just probably going to start right after we hang up now. So.
Oh, I love that. I love her cover. And that title is just simply over the moon, right? I love it. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of Out with Dan. You can find more information about this podcast and its host at outwithdan.com, on Twitter at @outwithdan, and on Instagram and Facebook at @GoOutWithDan. This podcast is hosted by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, and the theme music is provided by bensound.com. Join us again soon for the next episode of Out with Dan.